Turn your Bibles to John chapter 7.
Oh.
We are still continuing on with our study in the book of John. Did you guess which chapter it was?
Yeah.
Awesome. You're on top of things. So Joshua's going to read our story for us today. No, I'm just teasing. But before we read this passage, we're going to read John 7, 1 through 13. I want to tell you about my buddy Tyler. Now, I have talked about my buddy Tyler over and over. He's one of my best friends. But this guy seems to have a spiritual gift in getting people to do what he wants them to do. It's called a spiritual gift of coercion. I'll give you an example. He would just say two simple words to me. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Come on. Come on, buddy. For example, I was sitting at home. He used to be one of my roommates. I was sitting at home watching TV. I should be doing homework. And I'm sitting there, and he walks in the room, and he says, I'm hungry. I want to go to Chico. Now, when I was living in Reading, Chico was a small college town about an hour and a half away. I know, it's a long way, right? An hour and a half away just to go for food. I'd be like, no, man, I can't go to Chico. I can't go. I have homework to do. I'm watching this episode. I want to play some video games, you know, trying to make up excuses. And then he just says those two words. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. And I don't know how he does it. He just kind of gets this little smirk on his face. Come on, buddy. And I just like, all right. So we drive all the way to Chico. We get Mongolian barbecue, which is amazing if you haven't had it before. And I don't do my homework, and I don't know. He somehow, you know, it never really works on him. I say, hey, he lives in Sacramento right now, and I'm obviously over here. And I miss my friend, and so I say, hey, buddy, you should come over here and hang out with us. He's like, no, man, I can't. I really can't. You know, I got the wife and everything. And so I just sit there and I'm just like, come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. He's like, you can't do that to me. I invented the come on, buddy. It doesn't work on me. So many times in this passage, people are going to try and use the come on, buddy. And we're going to see that as we read John 1. And there are two examples of people who respond to the, come on, buddy. And we're going to see that as in our lives, when people use the, come on, buddy, how to respond when it comes to stuff that God wants us to do. Turn your Bibles, John 7, 1 through 13. Here we go. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Booths was at hand. So his brothers said to him, leave here and go to Judea that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify about it that its works are evil. You, go up to the feast. I am not going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. After this, he remained in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but in private. The Jews were looking for him at the feast and saying, where is he? And there was much muttering about him among the people. While some said he's a good man, others said, no, he's leading people astray. Yet for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly about him. Let's give you a little bit of setting, a little bit of perspective. The time was the Feast of the Booths, the Feast of the Tabernacles. It's a very famous, very necessary holiday for the Jewish people. And even it's performed still today. Like sometimes you can go to parts of New York and see people who have set up a booth at the top of their apartment building or on top of their house or even in their backyard to celebrate this festival because it was that important. This was the Jewish form of Thanksgiving. How many of you guys celebrated Thanksgiving about a week ago? Isn't it crazy? It doesn't feel like it was last week, but it really was. Somewhere in there, but it was really close. And what were some of the things that you guys did for Thanksgiving? What's that? Ate food, okay. What else? What are some things that you... Mark, what did you do for Thanksgiving? You slept. That's good. That's good. Thankful for sleep. What about you, Ethan?
I went to Tahoe.
You went to Tahoe. Nice. Nick?
Sacramento.
Holly?
I actually came here.
You came here? Nice. Harry?
I went to San Diego.
San Diego. Who went the farthest? Where'd you go?
I went to Utah.
Utah.
Kansas.
You went to Kansas? Nice.
Missouri,
okay.
It's like I play music for my family.
Okay, you play music for your family. Very cool. Guys, the Feast of the Tabernacles was the Jewish Thanksgiving. It was a time where everyone took their families and went to Jerusalem. It didn't matter what part of Israel you were in. You always went up to Jerusalem. It was part of the thing. So everyone and their dog was in Jerusalem for this feast. This was so big because people would make these huts, these booths, so that they could remember what God did for them in the wilderness, how God provided for them, how God made the way to come from Egypt into the promised land. It's the time of Moses. It's the time of the manna. It's the time of the bread of life, which you guys have heard about before. And so this is the time of Thanksgiving. This is the time, this is like the equivalent of the Macy's Thanksgiving parade. But like times 100, because this was a feast. This was a party that went on for 9 days. Can you imagine a 9 day long party? I mean, some of you guys might get tired of it, but some of you guys might go crazy and have fun. And this was a time to thank God for what He has done. The Feast of the Booths. Booths or tabernacles. So that's the scene. Jesus' brothers come up to Him and say, "Hey, Jesus, we're going to the party. You should come. You should come. And if you really are who you say you are, show yourself for that. Show us a little bit of your power. Show us a little bit of who you are." They're like, "Jesus, we're going up to the feast. Do a little miracle. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy." But you can look at the way that his brothers were saying it. Is it bad for them to ask Jesus to show himself? Is it bad?
No.
No? What do you think? Is it bad for them? Was this appropriate? Was it right for them to say, "Hey, Jesus, show people who you are"? Well, it depends on how you take it. You guys aren't awake yet, but it depends on how you take it. If they're literally saying, "Hey, Jesus, show people who you are," because they believe, then that's not a bad thing, right? Moses asked God to show him who he was. "Show me some of your glory." It's not a bad thing. But John points out something. He says his brothers didn't believe. So we can take the way that what his brothers are saying in a couple of ways. One, it could be like a taunting. Hey, Jesus! You say that you're the Messiah and everything, and I've heard this all these stories from Mom from like the beginning, how like she was I don't want to even talk about it. It's just, you know, but how these amazing stories happen. And if you're really the Messiah, let's go up there to Jerusalem. You could show off who you are if you really can. Come on, buddy. Right? Could be a taunting. Or imagine being a sibling of the Messiah. Think about the prophet on that. Right? Think about that. Hey, Jesus! Dude! You're the Messiah! Let's go to Jerusalem and do a couple miracles. We'll set up a booth, sell some Jesus action figures. It'd be great! I'll sell tickets, 7 shekels of viewing, and you can do some miracles, and we'll do some signed autographs. Here, check it out, it's Jesus! And they'd be doing it for their own gain. Either way, because they didn't believe in who he was, the come on buddy that they gave him came from wrong motives. Jesus' brothers and brothers tried to persuade him to come to the festival. They tried to say, hey, Jesus, come on up. But Jesus knew God's plan. Jesus knew that God had another plan for him. Jesus knew that it was not his time to show off. Because that time will come later. Think of Palm Sunday. When he comes into Jerusalem on a donkey, and people are like, Hosanna! Hosanna! Or even when Jesus dies on the cross for your sins and mine, and then 3 days later rises up from the grave. That's when Jesus gets to show off. That's when his glory is displayed. That's when he shows off who he is. The come on buddy doesn't work because Jesus is listening to his Father. So we get a little transition period. The brothers go up to Jerusalem. And then it almost appears like Jesus is lying, doesn't it? Like, I'm not going to go up to the festival. You guys go up. And then a couple verses later it says, then Jesus went up to Jerusalem in secret. Wait a second. God's Son, the Holy Messiah, the one who never sinned, appears to sin. How does that work? Well, Jesus didn't lie here. Jesus didn't flat out say, no, I'm not going to go up to the festival. I'm never going to go up to the festival. There's actually a footnote. If you look in your Bible at the bottom, these little footnotes are helpful because they help us understand the scriptures a little bit more. But if you look at this, it says, for in number 3, it says, some manuscripts add yet. I am not yet going up to the festival. I'm not going to go up for the crazy parade. I'm not going to go up to show off who I am. I'm not going to go up with you because you have the wrong motives. I'll go up in the Father's timing. I'll go up at the opportune moment. But not yet. Not yet. So we see how Jesus responds to the come on, buddy. But there's another come on, buddy. And it's not directed towards Jesus. And it's a little bit more subtle. It happens in verses 11 through 13. I'm going to read those one more time. Verses 11 through 13. The Jews were looking for him at the feast and saying, "Where is he?" And there was much muttering about him among the people. While some said he's a good man, others said, "No, he's leading people astray." Yet for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly of him. This was a feast. Everyone was here. Everyone had stories of Jesus. Oh, Jesus did this, Jesus did that. And he was the talk of the town. He was a celebrity. And during this time, you got two responses. It's kind of like Twitter, right? You read tweets, and when you see a tweet, you either see, "Oh my gosh, I love him," or "He's the scum of the earth."
I hate that.
Right? There's no tweets in the middle. There's no tweets like, "Oh, he's just a good guy. He's all right." No, you have some that love him. Let me give you an example. You see tweets all the time like, "OMG, OMG, I love him! Hashtag Justin Bieber." Right? Hashtag never say never.
One direction.
Right? And then you have a tweet that says, "Oh, how can Justin Bieber look so much like a girl? Hashtag Justin Bieber's a girl." You know? It's either, "I love him, I love him, I love him," or "I hate him." It's not, you know, "Justin Bieber's okay. I hung out with him the other day. He's a good guy. He's all right." It's love or hate. There were two responses. "He's a good teacher. He's a good man." Or "He's leading people astray." Yet no one said anything. They were murmuring these about themselves. They weren't saying anything public. Why? What does the scripture say? Why did no one say anything in verse 13? Verse 13, what does it say? "For fear of the Jews." There's the come on, buddy. Hey, you talking about Jesus? Come on, buddy. You serious? Hey, are you saying something about Jesus? Come on, buddy. This "come on, buddy" that they used, buddy, that they used was fear. Fear. As in, these Jews who were threatening Jesus' life, who were saying that Jesus must die, were threatening others with either excommunication from the temple, which means throwing out of the temple, you can never come back, which was a big deal back then. Pain, or maybe even death. There's two things we can come from this. Two things we can take from this lesson. Number one, is anyone distracting you from doing what God wants you to do? I want you to take a piece of paper. Lucas, can you pass these out? And then Santos,
yeah.
Can you pass out these pens?
What? All right. Sure.
And I want you guys to write down the top three people that you listen to.
Bob Marley.
The top three people that you listen to. Like, for example, who do you go for advice?
Bob Marley.
Let's be honest. Who do you go to for advice? Who do you trust? And who do you listen to? I want you guys to write down these names. Write down a couple names. Just brainstorm a little bit. Who do you trust? Who do you listen to? And who do you go to for advice? Three. Just top three.
Yeah.
Write down top three people, or group of people. It could be friends, teachers. You could say the Bible. That's totally fine. Who are the top three influences in your life? As you grab a pen, I know that they're slow in coming. It's all right. It's all good. Top three influences in your life. Okay, I got this. Top three influences in your life. Couple more seconds. Let's hear some of them. Who are the top influences in your life? Not Bob Marley?
McKenzie, my last one.
What's your last one?
Ernest, a.k.a. Glenn.
Okay, Ernest, cool. Yeah.
Music,
okay.
Bob Marley. I can use Bob Marley.
Shut up.
You've said it like five times,
Shut up.
I knew what your answer was.
Everybody knows what you said.
Anyone else?
Your mom?
Your mom? Teachers.
People in Bible studies.
People in Bible studies. Hayden, what about you?
Probably my dad the most.
Your dad? Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, my dog.
Your what?
My dog.
Your dog?
Yeah, because he gives me... Because my dog tries to ask me to calm down.
Okay. All right. Daniel, what about you? Yeah.
Hey.
You don't know? Okay. Cool. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Hannah. Okay. Awesome. Andres?
Jeremy and Ryan.
Jeremy and Ryan. Very cool.
Where are they?
They're out.
They're gone. Chilling.
Now, here's the question. If they said something that would take you away from doing what God wants you to do, if they tried to lead you down a path or try to lead you somewhere that you didn't want to go, or that you knew you shouldn't go, would you still follow? Jesus' brothers, his closest brothers, trying to get him to display his glory, to go out of turn, to do things that his father didn't want him to do. The people that he loved. The people that loved him. The people that he grew up with, that he knew real well. People that you trust. Is it hard not to listen to them? Is it hard not to go with what they say? But if God calls you to do something, if God asks you to do something, isn't that more important? Just real quick, a couple questions. What has God called you to do? What has God asked us to do? What are some things that God has asked us to do? Andres?
Love one another.
What else? Joaquin. What does God ask us to do?
Share God's word.
To what?
Share God's word.
Share God's word. Yet if there's any time that these people are becoming a distraction to that, I challenge you guys to listen to what God has to say. To trust what God has to say and to do what God has to say, regardless of what people are saying around you. And then lastly, a little bit more practical, a little bit more, one of the things that God has called us to do. Speak up about Jesus. Don't let fear control your life. The people in the town didn't speak about Jesus, didn't say anything about Jesus, because they were fearful. They were fearful of what the other people might say. Now, I know some of you guys go to King's, but is it always easy at King's to say stuff about Jesus? To talk about Jesus openly? To say, hey, this is what God is doing in my life? Or don't you still have the pressure of, hey, people are looking at me funny when I talk about God? People are treating me differently because I mentioned Jesus. What about you who go to public school? Is it ever easy to talk about what God is doing in your life? No. In fact, people shut it down. People say, no, you can't talk about that here. But I want to challenge you. Speak up. Don't be ashamed of what God is doing. Take your relationship with Jesus seriously and tell others about it. And when you get these, come on, buddy. Listen to what God has to say. And follow that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Thank you that we could be thankful for your provision. Thank you that you came. And Jesus, thank you that you did not give in to temptation. That you did not just go out and display your glory whenever you wanted, God. Jesus, that you listened to the Father. And that you did what the Father asked you to do. God, help us to be bold. Help us to speak up about you. And help us to know you more. In your name I pray. Amen.